T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mike Farron, SiriusXM MLB Radio, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
I mean, that's what it feels. We're living in Animal House right now. Yes, that's what's happening right now, Mike. I mean, it's crazy. It really is. I said today, you know, I've been 100% pretty much on the player side on this. I think in the end, to some degree yesterday, they cut off their nose to spite their face. I just don't see, like, how much are they going to win in this grievance, Mike? It can't be more than 10 games worth of, and is it worth it for 10 games?
Well, I mean, 10 games is $250 million. I mean, in salary, if that were in fact the case. But
right.
I think there are people who have been involved in collective bargaining much more than I have, which is to say they have been involved in it and I have not. And I'll cite Eugene Friedman, who is a baseball writer who has written for Fangraphs and Baseball Prospectus, but his main job is as an attorney for the Air Traffic Controllers Union. So he's on the labor side. And based on the way that the negotiations ended up going over the course of the last 10 days, he thinks that the union has very little leg to stand on in a grievance. And I'm going to trust him on it because he's been part of the grievance process before. And even at any rate, hoping that you're being made whole by the flip of a coin in an arbiter's decision is probably not a sound strategy. So, yes, is it cutting off your nose to spite your face? I think that that's the way a lot of us feel. I mean, I think when you heard the players come out and say when and where 10 days ago and then make a counteroffer on a proposal, I think there were some people that were like, okay, I mean, from a perception standpoint, it didn't look great. And really, it's the entertainment business, right? So perception is all that matters. I mean, I think from a negotiating standpoint, not agreeing to expand the playoffs this year when they were looking at a relatively modest amount of dollars that was coming from the owners probably makes some sense for long-term negotiation because that's a pretty big chip that the owners want to be able to play. And so it's still available to them. And maybe there's something that the players feel like they can get a greater concession than this. So, I mean, I can kind of see both sides with it, but at the same time, I mean, you know, just the fact that they were willing to shoot so much of it down or even, I think really it's the counter proposal of 70 games when it was pretty clear. You know, like, even though that was the one proposal that the owners made that came in on prorated salary, full prorated salary, it wasn't that much different in terms of total value from the other three in terms of how much salary they were willing to pay with the risks of this season. And I think it may have been a bit of a miscalculation on the part of the union in that regard.
How quickly do you think we'll see baseball being played on the field?
Well, I mean, I think if and it certainly seems like the health protocol will be finalized today and that the union will respond to the call to get camps open on July 1st in a positive manner, then I think, you know, we're probably looking at the weekend of July 24th will be the first games. I mean, I think we're probably looking at a 60-game schedule, and maybe it's, you know, a day before. Maybe it's like July 23rd, I don't know, but somewhere around there, that gives you a week for players to get to camps. And it gives you 3 weeks for players to get ready, and then we play, you know, 60 games in 65 or 66 days.
We're talking with Mike Farron, SiriusXM MLB Radio, part of the Diamondbacks broadcast as well. Mike, you know, obviously I listen to your show, but I can't listen all the time, and I don't know if you guys have talked about this, but I think something that generally has been lost in this conversation, because you mentioned the expanded postseason, And one of my concerns, and I didn't care about it for this year. This year's a wacky year, and I didn't care how many playoff teams. But to me, if the goal is to have a permanent 16 teams in the playoffs, I think long-term that is terrible for baseball. It totally devalues. Look at the NBA. Their regular season has no value. There's no excitement at the end of the regular season. People just can't wait for it to be over for the playoffs to start. I think devaluing the baseball regular season over the long term would be terrible for the game. What say you about that?
Well, I mean, yeah, I tend to agree. I'm not a huge fan of expanding the playoffs. I mean, I agree that this year would have – I thought it made sense just from a competitive standpoint because you're dealing with so few games. And
right.
Like you said, it's going to be wacky anyway. But – I also see a couple of other trends that are happening here. I mean, again, the playoffs are extremely valuable, and baseball is in the process of trying to extract the final bits of blood from the turnip that is television money that they can in all of their negotiations, and expanded playoffs means more money. I mean, that's what the television networks are spending on. They don't really care about the game of the week or,
right.
You know, ESPN's Sunday night and Wednesday night broadcasts don't, you know, actually they carry those so that they can carry the playoffs. I mean, that's what they're looking for. So, so I understand it from baseball standpoint there. And I do think that, if not anything else, that this pandemic and probably the labor strife that we are looking at it heading into 2022 is going to speed up the timetable on expansion, and we'll probably end up with a couple more teams here, and that, you know, leads to maybe half the league making the playoffs. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I think you have to draw a delineation between, you know, like they do in the NHL. You've got the President's Trophy, right, and then you've got the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think the further you expand playoffs, the less you're interested in getting the best team to win the World Series, and the more you are in just crowning a tournament champion. And I think that that's certainly the way that I look at it. And listen, I enjoy playoff baseball for what it is, too. I mean, it's exciting, it's intense, you know, it matters. But I also really love the grind of the regular season, and I think that there's something great about being able to be successful over 162 games, because it is such a monotonous grind that you really have to be on your game for so many days of the year, probably more so than we are, you know, as in whatever job we work, at least a higher percentage.
Right. Let me ask this question. So there is a possibility here that they could do the runner on second base in extra innings. How likely is that to go through, and do you like it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've seen it speculated a little bit today. If it is, it's part of the health and safety protocol. And one of the things that, you know, despite the fact that the March agreement said that players would be open to expanding the season beyond October and having doubleheaders, Major League Baseball's health advisors have advised them against that kind of stuff. One, they were concerned about a second wave. I mean, if we ever get out of the first wave of coronavirus. And the other part was keeping people at the ballpark too long, in groups of people too long. And that's where the doubleheader thing came from. So I think this idea is born as much out of that. I'm not a huge fan of it in the same way that I don't love the shootout in soccer or in hockey, because I think it's an inauthentic way to end a competition. But if you're going to try it and see what it looks like at the major league level, this is the season to do it. And it gives you kind of a 60-game free pass to see whether or not it works. And as much as I don't like it, I'm not necessarily willing to die on that hill with something that I'm really overly concerned about. And I would like to see it in practice more than, you know, what we've seen a little bit in the minor leagues or in international competition. So, my first reaction is I don't like it, but I'm also open to seeing what it's like. And who knows, you can change your mind. I mean, I didn't like the idea of the first wild card team either. And I think that was a great addition. You know, I don't love the designated hitter. I really don't love the designated hitter. I'm resigned to the fact that it's going to be a permanent part of baseball probably in 2022 and on. And so, like, that's something that you're just going to have to make adjustments on. Like, there's all those little things that happen that you're going to have to adjust with. In the end, I think it affects so few games that it really isn't that big a deal over the course of the regular season.
Mike, you referenced the DH. I happen to be a fan of the DH, if only because I think if you're playing interleague play on a daily basis, you got to have the same rules. Yeah. And then obviously for selfish reasons as a Cubs fan, I think it benefits them. That's the selfish part of it. But anyway,
yeah, Schwarber probably helps. I mean,
right, exactly.
A huge advantage for them.
Exactly. Yeah. But let me ask you this. You know, obviously because there was no agreement, there's no DH in place for 2021, even though we're going to have it in 2020, and then there'll be a negotiation in 2022. Do you think at some point they'll do a trade of some sort if they're leaning towards having it in the new CBA in 2022 that we will see it in 21? What's your best guess on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's that possibility. I mean, certainly they've reopened the CBA for rules things over the last couple of years. I mean, this year, 26-man roster and three batter minimum, right? So, and it's not something that the union is opposed to in having the DH. But again, like it's all about negotiation, right? It's so you if the players are in favor of it, the owners might want something in concession to be able to add an expensive position like the DH. I mean, I think it is entirely possible that we have seen the last of pitchers hitting and that it ends up being part of the plan for 2021. I do think that as much as I would like to still see pitchers hit, and especially you know, doing Diamondbacks broadcasts where we have Madison Bumgarner and Mike Leake.
Yeah, right.
The offense, who are pretty good hitters for pitchers. I think it makes sense in this year, and not just because it's interleague every day, but because regardless of how the schedule works out, and we don't have I don't have any even inside information on what the schedule is going to look like. It's realistic to think though that you're going to play a higher percentage of your games this season as interleague play, and so because they're trying to regionalize the schedule as much as possible, you're trying to you know limit travel and all of that. I think you're going to see a higher proportion of interleague games than you would over the course of a 162 game schedule, and so making things equal footing for both leagues seems to make some sense in the short term. Plus, it's health related for the pitchers too, and you're trying to keep. I mean, we're always trying to keep pitchers as healthy as possible, and in a truncated season with a shorter spring training, I think there probably are some elements to that as well.
How do you think the shortened season either benefits or hurts the Cleveland Indians?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think they're a pretty good team. So, I mean, I could see if you get off to a good start, like that they could get hot and find themselves in the playoffs pretty easily. You know, I love their rotation. I mean, I think that they have a lot of really good options there. There are enough offensive pieces, especially if you know Jose Ramirez bounced back in the second half last year is real, that they can be competitive. And I think that there's. You know, they certainly, and I don't know if this is going to be more soft science than, and Adam will probably yell at me for not having data to back this up, but, but, you know, they are fairly playoff tested as a group. They've been through a lot of those kind of must win games and been through that intensity. And even though there aren't going to be fans in the stands, you know, probably to start or very many fans in the stands, if there are, you know, municipalities that allow it at some point. You know, having been through the intensity of that, I think certainly has to play a little bit of a benefit in knowing what to expect. Because I do think one of the things that's really exciting about this year is that it's closer in terms of schedule to what you would have in a college season. And because of that, you end up with, every game meaning that much more. I mean, we're playing just a little bit more than a third of the regular schedule. So almost three times as much meaning in every game. I mean, that part to me is really cool. You know, like I think that just raises that should raise the intensity level. If in fact you feel like you know if your goal is to win a championship, I mean this is a great opportunity to do it. And I think those teams that are in the mix and that can do that faster and keep that level of intensity going for those 2 months are going to put themselves in a good position for the postseason.
I think you're right, Mike. I think if you think about it, like a four-game series this year is almost like 2 weeks of a traditional baseball season. So it has so much meaning. I got another theory here that I think, and I want your take on this, I think after years of we've been seeing less and less starting pitching in the postseason, bullpens matter more, short stints about the starting rotation, I wonder if this year the rotation will matter more. Because think about it. You look at the Indians' rotation, it's deep, it's talented, it's also young. They're not going to throw a lot of innings, especially in the beginning of the year. They're going to throw 3 innings, 4 innings, maybe 5. By the time we get to the playoffs, the starting pitchers will have thrown 30, 40, maybe 50 innings, and they'll all be about the point where they're peaking at their best time to throw longer. I wonder if we'll see more of that because you may need more of the relievers early.
You know, it's a great point, and I do think that, you know, there will be some roster flexibility earlier in the season. Like, I'm anticipating the first 2 weeks of the season, you'll have 30-player rosters, and then it'll probably go down to 28 and then to the standard 26, and maybe a week or two after that. But I do think that in terms of the number of innings, it's going to be a lot easier for starters to carry a postseason load. Yep. You know, instead of being at the end of a 200-inning season and trying to tack on another 30 or 40, you're tacking on 30 or 40 to, you know, the 50 to 60 innings. And I think that there's certainly a lot of ease in that. I think the other thing is that might do that is because I think in terms of a percentage of innings that you would get in a regular season, I think that there's going to be much more of a usage for eight bullpens in an effort to try and win the game that's in front of you. And so where you might see, you know, an ace reliever or a good reliever, you know, log around 70 innings over the course of a regular season, you might see them at more like 35 or so over the course of the shortened one, 35 right. to 40. And so, yeah, those innings had to be made up somewhere. And if you have quality starters, I think that's one way to do it. So, you know, I hadn't thought about it in those terms, but I do think that it makes some sense. And I mean, really, it's going to be about depth of pitching, right? So, like, it's always about depth of pitching. And I do think that I have this theory that these shorter seasons are going to be more about star power. I mean, you're more likely to be able to get a star to carry you for a large chunk of the year, a large percentage of the year, than you would be over the course of 162 games. So, you know, I don't know, maybe if you're dreaming for the Indians, like, strong starting pitching and like two crazy hot months of Francisco Lindor, and might as well crown them champions, right? They win the piece Absolutely. Of metal at the end.
Hey, Mike, last good.
Lastly, we said that.
Amazing. And fans wonder why, you know, or the owners wonder why fans think the owners hate baseball. Last thing, real quick. Is it inevitable now that we're going to expand to 32 to make some money that way? How quick do you think it happens, and what are the two most likely cities to have the new teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's – so it was in the last CBA that it was something that could be considered, and Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, has said in the past that they needed to get the A's and the Rays stadium situation figured out before they consider that. Now, the A's are getting closer to getting their stadium situation figured out. They're in the process of purchasing the Coliseum site in Oakland, which they're – main goal is to turn that into affordable housing, where they would then take an area along the water and turn that into the ballpark. But they at least have a backup site in the Coliseum, and I think it puts them on a pretty good path if they have that. The Rays, it's a little bit more complicated because they're still trying the multi-city model with St. Petersburg, Florida, and Montreal, and so we'll see how that goes. But every time baseball has expanded, it's done so because they've needed the influx of cash. And that would certainly seem to be the case. I mean, I think regardless of whose side you've come down on, you know, as to whether or not you favor the players or the owners, I think we can all agree that at least in this season, the owners are going to lose a lot of money. I mean, they're just not, you know, we can debate as to whether or not it's tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars, but it's going to be enough that they would be looking for that influx of cash. So I think that it is much more reasonable to think in the not too distant future we would have expansion. I would say by 2025 we would have it, if not a little bit sooner than that. I mean, I think from the time that franchises were awarded the last time, it took almost 3 years to get teams up and running. So if you were to do it in, you know, next year, let's say, we're probably looking at 2024 as being a possibility for new teams. As for the cities, I mean, I know they really love the idea of international expansion before, and specifically with Mexico City. Beyond that, I just don't know. I don't have enough feel for what cities have the most Fortune 500 companies that can pay for those luxury suites. That tends to be a pretty good indicator of where leagues want to end up. So I don't know if it's, you know, a place like Nashville, or if it's the, you know, the Triangle or Charlotte. You know, that certainly would be a spot regionally, or Vancouver, British Columbia, or Portland. You know, I think those are all potential possibilities. But I think it's going to come down to, just like everything else, it's going to come down to the financial wherewithal of whoever the groups are the bidding, and the financial wherewithal of the cities that they are looking to place teams.
Mike, you gave us a ton of time. We appreciate it, my friend. Thank you so much.
Anytime, guys. Stay safe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.